Good morning, welcome. It's great to see you all this morning, and we've great cause of celebration this morning as we gather together, not only to worship God, but also to dedicate Lily as well and enjoy that family celebration of thanking God for her and our own continuing lives. I just want to give you a warm welcome, especially if it's your first time here, or maybe if it's your first time in church. Congratulations, you've not burst into flames. There's no thundering and lightning today, so we won't be struck either. But hey, we're not all strange people with pointy heads doing weird things. We're just normal folk gathering together to worship our Lord and our Saviour Jesus Christ. So I want to give you a warm welcome this morning. There'll be songs, which all the words will be up on the screen here. We'll be praying, of course. We'll also come to a time of dedication where we'll invite the family. They'll say some words of promises, and also we'll share that together as well as we come to give our support, our prayers, our love and dedication, not only for Lily, but for Alex and Hannah as well. And we make those declarations to God. So a warm welcome, and let's just pray a great time together. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's a real pleasure to welcome everyone here this morning, especially our visitors for the dedication of little Lily. She's the star of the show. She's sitting there very perky, bless her heart. And also, I have to say a very special welcome to Grace as well, because Grace, oops, can't move too far away. The role of big sister is really important. Now, I'm a big sister, so I know all about this. You'll all be surprised to know, those that you know me well, that I was a very bossy big sister. No. I'm hopefully getting better as I'm getting older. Well, I'm a work in progress, but I'm sure you won't be a bossy big sister, Grace. You'll be a lovely one, and I'm sure you've got lots of lovely times in front of you. So again, and of course, welcome to everyone on YouTube. We have got a very special service this morning, and I do hope everyone that joins us will feel very blessed by the end of it. So at the end of the service, we'll be having tea and coffee, juice, biscuits even, chocolate, I think, maybe. It will be served down at the front here if anybody wants to come and have a cuppa, spend a bit more time with us, and that'll happen at the end of the service. So just a few notices. I'm keeping them short and sweet this week, but there are a few things that we need to know for the next couple of weeks. The ladies are meeting tomorrow at 1:30 down here at church, and mums and tots will be down here on Tuesday morning at 10. Next Saturday, it's our harvest weekend. We start off with a coffee morning from 10 to 12 on Saturday. We'll have a cake stall, a food stall and a book stall. If anyone would still like to contribute items of food, that would be really good. Thank you. And any funds that we raise are going to be donated to the BMS Harvest Appeal. And then on the Sunday morning, the 2nd, we're having a harvest service down here at church again at 10:30. And then we're going to have a bring and share lunch afterwards. If anyone's not aware of what we do on this, everyone brings enough food for themselves and then the family, and perhaps a little bit extra. We put it all out buffet style, and then we just enjoy a nice lunch together, bit of chat, bit of talking. Tea and coffee, and it's amazing out the amount of food that we get and the variety, so it's really good. So if you'd like to join us for that, if you forget, don't worry, there'll always be plenty. But that's happening next Sunday morning. And then on Saturday the 8th of October, there's a men's breakfast down here at 8:30 in the morning. It's restarting for the first time after COVID. We do have a poster. This is on the board outside. Good food, good company. Maybe it's something you've never heard before. All men welcome. Sorry, ladies, but we'll try and sort something out for you at another time. Any background, any faith, any age, any postcode, you know, wherever you come from, you're very welcome. And it will be £4 all inclusive. Much tea and coffee as you can drink. Is that right, Michael? Yeah. Any more information from Michael, George, and Mark, sorry, these are the guys that are kind of coordinating it. There's some details on the bottom for phone numbers. If you can come and you know you're coming and you'd like to book, see one of the guys, but it doesn't matter. There'll always be plenty to eat, so just turn up at the last minute if you like. The newsletters are out. Thank you again to Janet and Chris for doing this. There's a copy. The copy's at the back. You may already have got one. Please do take one. Take one for friends, family. There's lots of information about what we're about and what we're going to be doing in the next few weeks. We haven't quite got the Christmas programme sorted yet, but that'll be happening very soon. So thank you.
It is a great privilege that we gather today, and particularly for this dedication of little Lily, who's awake, and it is even before 11, Hannah. It's probably about 4:45, so true to form, that's great. But it is great that we gather, and in a moment we're going to be praying, we're going to be making some promises, some declarations, as we dedicate Lily's life and give thanks for her and our own continuing lives to God. Because that's what we find is important, that we don't face this life alone, that we don't go alone in life. There's got to be more than this than we have, and there is more. There's Christ. For some of you, that may be strange. For some of you, it may be a strange concept. Some of the songs we've sung, the words we've said, but believe me, they will make sense when you just let go and come to Christ in faith. But it's a huge honour and a privilege to be able to have this dedication today for Lily. It's also an opportunity to birth the mark of Lily, as we say, in worship, and to provide that opportunity of thanksgiving and commitment by her parents, family, friends, and of course, local church and community. Because here is joy over the gift of a child and the acknowledgement that all life comes from God. Here is an opportunity to celebrate that, of family life, of acknowledgement of children, that they are God's and God's gift to us. We don't own them, but they're not the property of ours as parents, but they are a gift, a children named before God, children whose welfare and nurture we are entrusted with. And what a great responsibility that is, even if they do wind us up sometimes, and it's all to come. But yet there's more, because the emphasis of the Gospels tells us this. It's not so much as what we adults can do or promise to do for children, but as what they can do for us. Because let's face it, as parents, we learn by our children. We don't learn to be parents. The children enable us to learn. And so as we go through this dedication service, Jesus tells us that for us, children are the church. They are a sign of the kingdom of God, a reminder that those who would seek him must enter the kingdom like a child. And so in the name of Jesus Christ today, of course, we welcome Hannah and Alex and Grace and baby Lily, and of course, friends and family and church members alike. Their family and friends will promise and help support not only Hannah and Alex, but Lily as well, and Grace, and seek God's help in bringing up their children. And as members of this church, and as friends of this church as well, we promise that there will always be a place for children here. And we will ask God's blessing on Lily's life as we pray for her and the family, and for the church's work with children, and for the children in need throughout the whole world. Because together as gospel people, this is what we come to do. Well, let's just bow our heads and let's just take a moment in prayer of thanksgiving. Living Lord, you are the source of all life. No one is born and no one dies without your knowledge or outside of your love. We thank you for the birth of Lily, for her new life, and all the potential which rests within her. We also thank you for the love which brought her to life and which continues to surround her today and tomorrow and for all her tomorrows. We know how much she depends on those who care for her, how fragile and small she is, but we believe that you will give her parents, family and friends all the wisdom, patience, skill which they need. And we thank you for all the gifts and talents which will be revealed in Lily as she grows older. And we present her to you now with all our thanks and praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, I've mentioned about the kingdom of God being for children, and we are to come as children to reveal the kingdom. And so I'm going to invite Esther up, who's going to do a reading for us, and then we'll continue in a moment.
It's from Mark 10, chapter 13 to 16. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them.
Thanks, Esther. Again, may seem strange words to those that aren't familiar with them, but it's a declaration, it's a promise of what Jesus says. Here we have this story that the disciples are around with Jesus, and there's probably many crowds around them, and some children are trying to get to him, and the disciples stop them. And Jesus becomes quite indignant, quite angry about it, and says, "No, you do not allow them not to come to me, because it is such as these that belong the kingdom of God. And so we too must come before him like a child." Because he says, "Truly I tell you," as Esther read, "whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And there's a promise that is made. Well, I want to invite Hannah, Alex, Lily and Grace to come on up. We're going to make these promises and declaration and give thanks for Lily. As they come up, there'll be some words, not only that they will say, but in a moment there'll be words that we'll all say. And there's a response to that if you truly accept what we're saying here is that we will. These are the responsive words. "Hi, guys. You all right? You all right, Grace? Don't look so worried. It's okay. You're going to behave yourself, Lily." We'll see. We'll see. We'll see how long we've got. We'll see how long we've got. But these family promises that we dedicate for Lily, is smiling and giggling away. I just want to ask, first of all, we'll come to you in a moment, Grace, but Alex and Hannah, do you thank God for the gift of Lily? And do you trust God to help you as parents as you bring her up in her life?
We will.
And will you try with God's help to share with Lily your understanding of the Christian life and promises that you make? And will you bring her up within the community of church? And do you promise to surround her with goodness and love all the days of her life? And Grace, this is your part here. Do you promise to help Lily grow up and to love her and to care for her and look after her? Yeah, good. Well done. Excellent. And I want to invite Stacey and Danny and Helen to come up. As are you not too happy? You're not too happy. As we invite Stacey, Danny and Helen to come up as chosen friends again. All right, you didn't think you was coming up? You're fine, don't worry. All right, okay. Don't worry about it, don't worry. And so, again, here is a response of we will. So, will you, as chosen friends and members of family, of Lily's family, continue to help Hannah and Alex bring Lily up? And will you promise to surround her with all things that are good and that are true? Excellent. A church family as well, members and friends of this family and extended family of Hannah and Alex, if you would like to stand as well, because we too make these promises, if you're able to stand. And so for members and friends of this church, do you promise that there will always be a place for children here, and that in playing your part in bringing our children to a knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour? Thank you. You may take a seat. And guys, if you want to take a seat as well, yeah, too right, Danny's off. Now, is Lily going to come to me? Lily? Come on. I haven't got any food, I'm afraid, mate. I haven't got any food. Do I turn around? There's everyone. Hello. Right, Lily. You are one of God's children. You are. Yeah. You're a gift, and your name is written on the palm of his hand. Your name means purity and innocence. That's right. Well, may you forever be blessed. May you grow up strong in the knowledge and in the blessing, the grace and presence of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I want to invite Carol and Jan, if you would like to come, and we've got some gifts for you guys and for you as well, Grace. And as they're doing that, we'll show you and turn you around. This is Lily, everyone, who may not have seen. Say hello. Do you want to bring them up?
That one's for Lily. I'll give that to you. And that one's for you, Grace.
No, thank you.
You're welcome. And I just want to pray for Lily, this beautiful new life, that the Holy Spirit will guide your footsteps, that Jesus will walk alongside you as you take your footsteps with him, and that God will fill you with his abundant grace. Amen.
Amen.
And this is just a gift for the parents, because they sometimes get left out.
It's okay.
We just pray, Lord, that you'll be close to them, that you will guide them through life, and just bless them continually. In your name, amen.
Amen. I'll hand her back. You've got to hand over the flowers. There we go. So we just pray that faithful God, in faith and in hope, we entrust to you, Lily, Grace, Hannah and Alex, their lives, their futures, it stretches out before them. Would you protect them in moments of danger? Reassure them in moments of doubt? Give them strength and surround them with your love, expressed in the people who will care, not only for her and them, but from childhood to youth, from youth to life as an adult. And would you surround them with that love, with the people that will care for her, to those who she can also love, and that be shared with each and every one. And grant that when understanding comes, she may confess you as Lord and Saviour of her life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Sit down. So I just pray, Father God, that as we continue in our service this morning, that your words would just ring true, not only in our ears, but within our hearts. Lord, would your words strike our hearts? Would you enable us to be open to receive your word this morning, however that may look for us, whatever that may mean? But Lord, would you just enable us to take a bit of a step back and a bit of a wider view, and just to be open to hear? Lord, don't let us wrestle with that. Don't let us struggle with that. But by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you be working in people right now? Just enable that to happen, and just enable your word to speak in spirit and in truth, so that it may just set us free. We ask this in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. So, let's rewind back. We are at the moment in a series where the fourth week in to this series that we're looking at, and it's the passage is found in a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Galatia, which is modern day Turkey. This letter was written around 49 AD, so just a little bit back, a few years. And we'll recall, those of us that have been following this, is that it's called the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit, as in singular, of the Spirit. And if you like, they are 9 flavours. Can't quite see it there, but it is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. One fruit, 9 flavours, if you like. A bit like, as I said in the first week, Willy Wonka's Everlasting Gobstopper. It's one gobstopper. It's everlasting, but it's got all the multiple flavours. It never loses the flavour, and it never gets smaller, because it's everlasting. just like the fruit of Holy Spirit. And we've looked at the last 3 weeks, love, joy and peace. And what we said there is, you'll remember, it relates us to God through his love, through his peace and through his joy. This week we're looking at patience and then kindness and goodness in the following weeks. That brings us into harmony with others. And then the last three, if you like, the faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, that brings us into a better relationship with ourselves. And I don't think it's any coincidences, because I don't believe in coincidences, but a God instance, that this week we're talking about patience. And I'm looking right at Alex and Hannah here, patience. And the times that we've met and we've chatted, sometimes patience can wear a bit thin, can't it? Let's say, at the end of the day, we're human. And we can talk about patience in different ways, of course we can. The kind where Hannah and Alex are developing the patience when Lily kindly asks, screams at midnight and at 2 o'clock and at 3 o'clock and at 4 o'clock for food. Because she knows no different at the moment. She wants food, she'll ask for it in a way that she understands. And in a way that gets us to understand she wants food, regardless of the time. And that takes patience, let's be honest. Or maybe the patience we need when she becomes a teenager. And she'll want to go out with friends, nothing wrong like that. But when you turn around and say, yeah, that's fine, but not dressed like that, you're not. And then she's storming back up the stairs and slamming the door, and there's temper tantrums and what have you. And there's energy flying high. But it's life, we're human, and believe me, I've been there. But today we've made promises, and we've made a commitment. We've made a commitment to help the family on life's journey, and that will take time, and that will take patience. Patience, by definition, in the Oxford Dictionary, is simply the capacity to accept or tolerate delay or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. So patience, by definition, the capacity to accept or tolerate delay or suffer without becoming annoyed or anxious. Straight away, I'll hold my hands up and say I failed there then, sometimes. But yet again, there's an element of time here. Because our life's journey, we put up with certain things. We often put up with certain people. And let's be honest, as we try to work it out, sometimes without question, and of course, there's times when we can only put up with something or someone, and our patience runs out. We're not perfect, we're human. We're trying to work it out as we take each step, each day, in each situation. But we learn and we develop. And this perseverance, and perseverance brings patience. Sadly, we can often be hurt, and we need time to heal. Sometimes it's patience from others that can help us within that time of healing. These wise words were once said, because I need time, my heart is numb, has no feeling. So while I'm healing, just have a little patience. Anybody recognise those words? Hannah? Go on. Gary Barlow from Take That and his song Patience. Come on, the greatest theologian, no doubt. But Gary Barlow, in his interview with the BBC, turned around and said he wrote the words to the song Patience. It's an interview where he said it's written from the perspective of someone pleading with their lover to have patience because they need to heal and recover from a previous trauma in their life. And he's talking about having patience. And the song's probably whirling around in your head if you know it. But the interesting part as I was looking at this were these words here, where it continues in the lyrics. It says, I really want to start over again. I know you want to be my salvation, the one that I can always depend. I'll try to be strong. Believe me, I'm trying to move on. It's complicated, but understand me. And I've saved your ears from singing it, but there you go. But it's interesting, those words. I really want to start over again. I know you want to be my salvation, the one I can always depend. I'll try to be strong. Believe me, I'm trying to move on. It's complicated, but understand me. And I think it then goes, have a little patience. And so do you need to start over today? Is there somebody that's struggling? Is there someone that's feeling not quite right, that needs a new start, that you need that patience from maybe with yourself or with others, but in order to move on? What if you were to take an unexpected turn in life? What happens if you were to go in an unknown direction, would you accept that with patience, or would you become annoyed and anxious? Is there something that causes you anxiety each day in situations? These are questions to reflect on. This is something that may be going on in your life now. I don't know. But maybe this is for you to reflect on and hear these words. Because there's no one in the world that knows you more than Jesus does. Whether you accept Jesus and understand who he is and what he means to you in your life or not, there is no one that knows you more than Jesus Christ in this world. Now, for those that may not believe or struggle to comprehend that, have patience, as I said in our prayer earlier. Take a bit of a wider view. Just open yourselves to the reality and hear what's being said. It's not to brainwash you. It's not to try and fix you into something, because that's not how it works. It's simply not like that. There's more historical truth of Jesus walking this earth as a human being than you can shake a stick at. That is truth. What we may struggle with is the fact of his death and then resurrection. Because Jesus is fully human yet fully divine. Now this might be big for some people to get your head around, I understand that. But here is help of Holy Spirit to help us in that journey. Where you may struggle in that resurrection is that by God's power, 3 days later, raised Jesus to life, just as he said he would do. And it's all here in Scripture. It's not mumbo jumbo. When you read it and you're not a believing Christian, it may look that way. It happened with me. But when you come to a life within Christ, it begins to make sense, because you're not on your own, like I said at the beginning. There's help with Holy Spirit to help us understand what it means and what it means for us in our daily lives. I testify to this. Years ago, when growing up as a child, I did what I wanted. Many people have heard my testimony. You can hear it if you go back online on our website and hear it. I drank and smoking at 8 years old, drinking at 12 years old. Did what I wanted to do. Joined the army and served for over 10 years. And then life spun out of control. I didn't believe in Christ. I didn't believe in God. I didn't go to church. But yet there was just something more to life than what was going on. As I said, life took a very unexpected twist and a turn in a different direction. Things were going wrong. And one night, to cut a long story short, when I was at a place receiving help for PTSD, after a long day with psychiatrists and psychologists and all the doctors and nurses, Jesus appeared on the end of my bed. Just like you're sat right in front of me, very real as we are now, Jesus was sat on the end of my bed. I cannot deny this, because it was real. And he simply said to me, "Let the poison flow." And afterwards, he put his hand back on my shoulder and said, "Now rest in my peace." And there was salvation. There was salvation. I can't say that I was truly looking for it, or truly looking for Jesus to come into my life, because to be honest with you, before I tried and I prayed and prayed that Jesus would come into my life, that I could turn it around, that I could stop feeling suicidal and stop trying to end life. But I couldn't. And then that very night, he was there on the end of my bed saying, "All will be well. Rest in my peace." Did life change in an instant? Not really. Did things get rosy and life was a bed of roses all the way on through and up to now? No, not really. Things still go wrong. So if anyone tells you become a Christian and everything's rosy and you'll be rich and have an extravagant life, run a mile, because they're lying. Because it's simply not true. It's human life that we still experience, but in a difference that we have Christ living within us by the power of Holy Spirit that can guide us and help us through in life. You can be in the most terriblest of situations, and believe me, I've been in a few. I've been in 3 wars, I've almost been killed in a road traffic accident, I've said death in the face so many times, I give up questioning. But yet, when everything's falling down around you, you can have peace upon your heart. Not peace that you can forge, not peace that you can try and bring about, but what God will place upon your heart, because it's his peace. The peace that we talk of. The love that he wants to bless you with each and every time is there, and it's free. No gimmicks, no transactions or anything like that. It is free. It's what God wants to do for each and every one of you. All you have to do is reach out and accept it. As you come to know Jesus, you'll come to know more of yourself. You'll come to know yourself on a deeper level, the real you, the person you are created to be, not the person other people want you to be, or how you think you should be, or how you should dress and who you should follow and all the rest of it, but who you should be, because you need to be you and let others be themselves. We live in a fast-tech, high-paced world where everything is available 24/7, 365. You want it, you can get it, no matter what time. Take, for instance, new work tops that I was ordering at 3:30 the other morning and went that morning and picked them up at 9:00. Simple fact. You want some at whatever time you can get it and then go and pick it up. But this is the life that we're living. And it reminds us that it never stops. It never sleeps. Guess we can speak a lily there in that sense. But life that we're faced with does not have to be faced in this way. Anything and everything is there. But patience is often what is lacking. Patience is a thin line that is often crossed over all too easily with a word or a phrase or an action, tipped over by the smallest of things. We can see that within our younger generation. We can see that within the children, where they have to behave a certain way, dress a certain way, look a certain way. They have issues with identity and confidence and self-esteem. And the problem is, who's there to help them realise that they need to be who they are and not who other people want them to be? Because patience is such a thin line that's worn out with people. And we see the devastating effects of when they don't want to conform with peers, or they don't want to do a certain thing. May sound gloomy, but where's the patience, where's the peace or the love there? Well, we have hope and assurance, as I've said. If you've got your Bibles in front of you, you'll find them in the front of the chairs. If you want to open them up, we're going to look at a few passages here where it talks about patience, of what Jesus says to us about this. The first one you'll find on page 1019. What we have here is Peter, an apostle, back in the year 67 AD, wrote his second letter to the churches. He addressed it to the main churches. And what he was saying here in the last part of this letter, which you find in chapter 3, he says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some would understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Let me just read that again. "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise." That's important. "As someone understands slowness." And here's the next bit. "Instead, he is patient with you, and not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." And you may be sat there thinking, well, repentance of what? What have I done wrong in life? I haven't done anything wrong. I clean living, healthy living. I give to people. I try and look out for others. But it's realizing that you cannot go on in life without Jesus as Lord and Saviour. To turn away from old ways, from old vices, if you like, changes of selfishness to selflessness. Go on then, go and answer it. Might be important. Might be God. Got a hotline to God. But to turn away from practices, to turn away from deeds, to have that vital change, as I say, from vice to virtue, from darkness to light. This isn't to scare you into faith, as I say. It simply doesn't work like that. It's a realization that you need to come to yourselves and accept the transformational life that Jesus Christ will have for you. You may not see change in an instant. You may not see everything going the way you want, because here becomes a difference. It's what Jesus has for you. It's what God has for you in those plans to make you prosper, not to harm you, but to give you life that will prosper. That's for you to do. It's not me to convert you or hoodwink you into it, because it simply doesn't work like that. My job, if you like, is to point you to the one who does all of this, and that's Jesus Christ. Look around the world in which we live. Look around at what's going on at us at the moment. People may seem that it's in a terrible situation, but yet look how one another are treating each other. In many cases, it lacks love, it lacks compassion, and certainly patience. It reminds me of another story that we find in God's Word. And if you want to turn to page 959, you'll find it's Luke chapter 15. And in particular, there's a story from verses 11 to 31. It's called about the prodigal son. Here, what you have is this story of where a man and his two sons, and he's quite wealthy, and one of the sons turns around and says, "I want my inheritance now. Give my half to me now." And so the father divides up his land and his wealth, and he gives his son, who's asking, half of his inheritance. And that son goes off, and he squanders it in wild living. And he ends up being poorer than poor, even poorer than the servants. And they had to set out and look for a job. And the only job that he could get at the time was to feed pigs. And even the servants of this master who he was working for were fed and treated better than this guy. And so he realised what he'd done wrong in life. He realised that he needed, only if he could, to go back to the father and ask for forgiveness. And even if he could be feeding his pigs, then he would be better off than the servants and the position that he's in. And so he set off to go back to his father. But unbeknown to him, from a long way off, as he was still a long way off, his father saw him and took compassion and ran to his son and wrapped his arms around him and loved him and forgave him without his son saying anything. And his son even turned around and said, "Forgive me for all that I have done." And his father said, "Bring the best robe, put a ring upon his finger, for my son who was once lost has now returned. He has been found." And when you look at that, what it's like to go off the rails, where's the patience in that? Where's the love in that? As I say, things that we face more in life, but we stand transformed and alive in Jesus Christ because of the patience and the love that he has, that he will freely give to each and every one that will just accept and that will take it. Whilst we are still far off, Father God will run to where we are, though we may be broken, though we may be lost, though we may be in turmoil and struggling with anxiety or annoyance, or whatever it is we're facing. Know that it is the one who came to do it all will come to where you are, just as you are, and wrap his loving arms around you and surround you in his love and his peace and his joy beyond comprehension. That's immeasurable, uncomprehendable. It's where you find him wrapping his arms around you and lovingly and patiently restoring you to where he wants you to be. It's where Paul reminds us in that chapter on page 959, if you turn there, to the church in Corinth, which is modern-day Greece. In particular, in chapter 13, where he defines real love, he simply says this: "If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing." Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And through perseverance comes patience. I simply want to say today that love and patience go hand in hand. Love is patient, it's kind, it keeps no record of wrongs. And Alex and Hannah, know that as you grow with Lily, and that the rest of us have declared, and that we'll trust in God with his promises to help them as parents to care for Lily. And we declare to surround her with goodness, with love, respect, and to help them as they help her to develop in life. That takes time. That takes patience. But it's a life's journey. One that we all face. One that we're all on. And through all of it, remember that patience, the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, problems or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Know that we don't face that alone. Know that we don't have to go through life alone. Even though we may be surrounded by family and friends, often we can feel lonely. But there's a real difference here. There's Jesus Christ. Jesus is there for us, and we need only to turn to him and ask him into our lives. And I truly believe that someone wants to do that. I truly believe that someone is suffering in a way that only you know. Whatever way it is, suffering with anxiety, suffering with a lack of patience, with love, going through something. You know within your heart that he's talking to you this morning. You know within your heart that God wants to help you resolve what it is you're going through. And here's an opportunity to do that. It's for you to do that. I'm going to put a prayer up here in a moment. And for those that want to give their life to Jesus, need simply pray this prayer. Those that want to recommit their lives to Jesus, if you feel you've gone astray or wandered and need to come back, pray also this prayer, because it's there for you. I often say here, it's about this unique relationship that we have with God. It's individual yet collective. Individual in the sense that it's us that can come to God and God will come into us through the power of Spirit. But collectively that we share in that together and help one another on life's journey. Just as we've dedicated and promised to help Alex and Hannah with Lily and with Grace in those declarational promises. And so if you are here this morning hearing this for the first time and your heart's beating out of your chest and you're nervous, slow down your breathing. Relax. Be calm. Know that it is God that is speaking into your heart. Don't wrestle with it. Don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. But allow Holy Spirit just to breathe life into you and just to speak into your life in a way that you'll understand. For those that want to pray, for those that want to give their life again, we simply say, Lord Jesus Christ, I come and I ask you into my life. I'm sorry for the things I've done in word and in deed. Would you please forgive me as I turn to you to guide me and protect me? Thank you that you died upon the cross for me, that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit. Grant me the love and peace that I need to face each day. Help me to step out in your name. And in doing so, will glorify your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you have prayed, if you have decided to give your life to Christ, if you have recommitted your life, then come afterwards and speak. It's important. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid. But come and talk, because we want to pray with you. We want to talk with you and want to help you in life's journey. So as we close this part of this service, we're going to sing a song in a moment. We're going to come around the communion table. Again, we'll talk through that as we go through, so it all makes sense. Maybe if you have given your life, maybe just take this time in this song to just reflect. Maybe what you've said, maybe what you feel God is saying to you. Don't wrestle with it. Just allow it to happen. Allow it to be. Friends, we gather around this table. It's an open table. It's not that we are the host and we invite Christ into here, but it's the fact that Christ himself is host and invites us to come. We simply have bread, albeit gluten-free, and we have juice. These are symbols that represent the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, maybe popular to belief, we are not in the denomination, we are not of the ilk where we believe that this physically becomes the body and the blood of Christ. It is bread baked in some bakery somewhere, bought from a shop. It is juice that comes from a juice bottle with some water added so it's not too sweet. But it's the symbolism of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's this act that we share in that Jesus Christ, on the night that he was betrayed, that we find in his word. That he shared supper, the Last Supper, with his disciples, his beloved friends. And this was the new covenant. Before this, you had the Passover, which goes right the way back in Old Testament times. But Jesus came to say that this is the new covenant done in his name, because he was about to face his death. And so he simply says, as we find in Luke's gospel account, he says here that when the hour came and he reclined at table with the apostles with him, and he said to them, I earnestly desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. See, Jesus was still alive at this point. They were still celebrating Passover. He says, for I tell you, I will not eat until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. He says, and he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And when he took the bread, he had given thanks and broke it and gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, after the supper, he took the cup. He said, this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. There, what he was saying of what was to come, very quickly that night and the next day, that his body would be handed over for torture, that his blood would be poured out, that this would be the final and ultimate sacrifice, once and for all. And that we know that upon that cross, he said, it is finished. And there upon his death came the new covenant. There we enter into a life with God through Jesus' sacrifice. But it doesn't end there, because he is risen again. We have that assurance. We have that understanding. And so this meal that we have, that we share in, is a remembrance of that, of what Christ came to do for each and every one of us, whether we accept that or not, is that he died upon that cross once and for all. That forgiveness is freely given. And so in this act of remembrance, we eat of this bread and we share of this wine until the Lord comes again. In a moment, these will be passed round. Do allow the elements to pass you by if you don't want to take it, or if you feel that you can't. Just allow the elements to pass by without any fear or embarrassment. As I say, this is an open table, and it's there for those that love the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. So do, if you do love the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, then take the bread and the wine. We eat the bread as we receive it, and we retain the cup until the end, and we drink it together as a sign of our unity. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks that we too this day gather in your name, that we become the invited guests at your table, that we do so in remembrance of what Christ has done, not only for us, but for all generations yet to come. Lord, we thank you that we too can celebrate the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we may struggle with that sometimes. We may struggle to comprehend as to why. But Lord, help us in that struggle. Maybe help us in our unbelief to seek the truth and allow that truth to set us free. So Lord, as we gather, we too break bread. We too share the wine in remembrance of what Christ has done for us and what he will continue to do in that blessed assurance of eternal life. So Lord, we give you thanks now for all that has done and all that will be continued to do now and forevermore until Christ returns and we drink it anew with him. Amen. And so, as we said, as Jesus did, he took bread, and when he had broke it, he gave thanks, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is my blood, which is poured out for you, the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins once and for all. Drink this in remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the wine, we do so in remembrance of Christ until he comes again. Come, receive the bread and the wine together as unity and signs of our bonds of peace, the bread and the blood of Christ. Amen. And so we remember together that Christ's blood was shed for each and every one. Let us drink and remember. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be found at your table, nourished, not only physically, but spiritually as well. Lord, we thank you that you care for each and every one of us. Lord, may we in turn turn to you, seek you all the days of our lives. Would you carry us through? Would you care for us? Would you love us? Would you afford us your peace and your patience? Lord, as we go into this world in the chaos in which we find it, may we be your light as we tread out into darkness. May we help those, Lord, that need help. May we shed your light into their lives. And may it be an ever radiance of your love, your grace, and your mercy. Lord, we think of the ongoing troubles around this world. We just pray your peace. We pray your understanding. Lord, we pray in all the situations that are going on that there would be resolve, that there would be reconciliation. Father, we just think of things closer to home. We think of people in our own lives, maybe within our family too. Lord, those that may be suffering with illnesses, facing operations or recovering, Lord, we just pray your healing hand upon them. And we pray that when we ask in your name, we'll believe that your will be done. So Lord, guide us all the days of our lives. Help us to walk in the steps of truth, in the steps of light, in the steps, Lord, that you guide us on, now and forevermore. Amen. And just as we close, we say these words found in the book of Romans. It says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to the gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed through the prophetic writings that have been made known to all nations, according to the command of eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to only the wise, be glory for God evermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." Amen. We give thanks for you at this time of service. As I said, as Carol said earlier, there'll be tea and coffee here. But it would be great as well if you could come and see Alex and Hannah and Lily and just continue with your thanks to them for Lily. But thanks for being here and thanks for this opportunity today. God bless. Take care. Thank you.